Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, ready?
Nice. Let's do it.
All right, welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast, episode what? 28. Climbing up. Who would have thought? Just a couple kids.
Starting from the bottom.
Living the dream.
Starting from the bottom. Now we're here. And we're also doing Facebook Live in a different
Facebook
way.
Facebook Live as well.
I'm going to do a little more movements with the camera.
All right. Sounds good. Today we are... What?
Go ahead.
We are joined by Justin LaCour and Jimmy Coleman. These guys are sales executives with Mako Medical. Mako Medical is an award-winning lab with operations in 8 different states. One thing that's really cool about them is they donate a percentage of their revenues to local charities at the Mako Foundation, where they support children with disabilities, veterans, cancer research, and faith-based ministries. Guys, thanks
Welcome
for coming
to the
in,
Jones
man.
Zone.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here.
All right, Jimmy, which one are you?
I'm Jimmy.
All right, that's Jimmy's voice for the audio. And Justin, which one are you?
I'm here.
And it's Justin. Is Justin Liquier?
What did I say?
The French prince.
He said.
The
I said LaCour. Man, who knows?
He did say LaCour.
It's butchered every time. Hey, that sounds cool. It sounds like I'm a hockey player.
Yeah, I'm gonna call him Justin L from now. I knew I'd butcher it.
I go by Justin. That's always the same.
I told you, Chris.
I know. I thought I could handle it, but anyways. So I appreciate you guys coming in. Why don't you tell us a little bit?
Sorry.
About
Facebook.
Yourself.
Facebook.
Put your computer on mute, man.
March Madness, man.
Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves and then get into Mako Medical and tell us about what Mako Medical is, man.
Jimmy, you want to
start off? Sure. Yeah, I'll tee it off. So Jimmy Coleman, I guess I'll start with probably about 5 years ago is when I started getting into business because before that I was in high school. So started off selling knives.
Cutco?
Cutco.
Yeah,
I'm the original knife guy. And while I was doing that, I had a lot of fun with it. So I told my parents I was quitting college to sell knives full time, and that scared them a little bit. But it was really a great decision for me. I'm not the type of person that really belongs in classrooms. So I did really well, started breaking some records. I moved to Fairfax, 18, 19 years old, was managing about 80 people, and had some success with that. We were number 2 office in the company that summer, and stayed with the company for 3 years. They treated me really well. Then accepted a position, Northwestern Mutual. Really, really liked it there. But then I reached out to a CEO to try to make him a client, and he snatched me from Northwestern Mutual and had me join the mission here at Mako. Along the ride, I also reached out to a guy named Justin Liquier, who I was trying to make a client as well, and just became good buddies with him. Other than that, we got a great girlfriend, youngest of 4, and a family of I guess total 6, and then that's about it.
Awesome, yeah. Man. Yeah. What about you, Justin?
That's hard to live up to right there. So I grew up in a place called Harrisonburg, Virginia, which is about an hour away from Charlottesville or 2 hours away from Richmond, if anyone knows where that is.
We met somebody from Harrisonburg recently, didn't we?
Yeah, that realtor. He was from Harrisonburg.
Kirk.
I was watching that.
Yeah.
I was like,
wait, no,
he,
not Kirk. No, it was Eric.
It was a mortgage broker.
Oh, it was
Kirk.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
What company did you work for?
He was with Fairway.
He's here now.
Okay.
He's here. He does a lot with veterans.
Yeah, so shout out to James
Represent.
Madison University, football champs. Anyways, I grew up there. I guess I had 3 older brothers who are 8, 9, and 10 years older than me, so that was always exciting.
10 years older?
Jeez. Yeah.
So you're the baby?
I am the baby, that's correct.
We're both the youngest of 4.
Youngest of four. That's...
Yeah, pretty much. It's
I'm the middle child.
It was good. You know, I think there's different ways you can go about it being the youngest child. I always took it as I want to see what mistakes my brother make and make sure I don't make them. And so that was a huge opportunity for me. But I grew up with my mom and dad actually in Richmond when I was real young. Had a couple of challenging things going on in life and was adopted by my aunt and uncle when I was young. My aunt was kind of everything to me growing up. I was that yuppie, I guess what you would call me. My brothers were a little bit more hippie-like. I was that kid who would sell baseball cards and Pokemon cards. And I even like was in elementary school. I sold a rock that was hot on the playground. And if you put it on a mosquito bite, it burns the sensation around the mosquito bite. So the mosquito bite doesn't itch anymore. So I made a good like $300 one day in elementary school like that, which is crazy. I sold rocks to every kid. That's a hidden story. It really does work.
So you gathered up rocks on the playground and sold them to kids?
Yeah, well, you know what? If it's hot and you put on a mosquito bite, it does kill all the sensation around it. So your mosquito bite doesn't itch anymore.
Is this a special rock?
No, I just walk over there. When the kids weren't looking at the fountain or whatever, man, I'd put it in my pocket. And I'd be like, look, I'm serious. Like, this is a hot rock. But if you put on that mosquito bite, it's not going to itch, right? And it would be on anything that had like a crazy sensation. If it hurt, burn anything. And they'd be like, oh my gosh. I'm like, hey, it's going to hurt at first. But you won't feel it afterwards.
How old were you in this?
So, I mean, I guess I was in fourth grade at a place called Stone Spring Elementary School.
Yeah. He's also a psychic.
Shout out
too.
To that.
He's a psychic? Psychic reader?
No, I'm
just kidding. What? Yeah, definitely not.
Everything, yeah.
No, that's not true at all. The rock was the kind of the moment where I was like, this is incredible. I've got to do this for a living. But anyways, I was really close to my aunt, and she had something actually called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, so not enough blood getting to her heart, and passed away when I was 13. And the last thing that she told me was to take my gift for business and my passion for helping people and put the two together to make an impact. And honestly, that quote right there has driven me my whole entire life.
It sounds like it, yeah.
So from there, I graduated, went to JMU, studied healthcare administration. I'm a little different than Jimmy. I actually enjoyed school a lot. It was a huge opportunity for me, but I also realized that it was like 10% of college. The other part was networking and meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
So I helped co-found a healthcare organization called the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, and it grew significantly.
So tell them about that event you did last week up there.
You
had to drive back up to Virginia.
Yeah. So it's an awesome organization. We've got an incredible board there. And the other couple who co-founded with me, Jake McCormick and Carissa Jeffers, quick shout out to them. They're incredible people. We come back and sometimes we give speeches, and so I gave a speech on how to use LinkedIn. Jimmy and I live for LinkedIn. It's got us in touch with numerous CEOs, head of Medicaid and Medicare for the U.S. under Obama, a lot of high-profile people, and that's really been our bread and butter.
And
so,
how old are you? How old are y'all?
We're 23.
23.
Yeah. You're both 23?
Gotcha.
Both
23. Yeah, Chris, so I told you they got their stuff.
Young guys, for sure.
That's cool, man.
So anyways, just gave a speech there, and the first part was LinkedIn, and the other half was to be pretty blunt with them. You know, I think a lot of people think they got their bachelor's degree, they get a piece of paper, life's going to be great, they're going to make six figures, have no stress in the world, and healthcare is extremely competitive. So it's a lot of teaching them how to use LinkedIn. I always tell people, if there's anyone you want to meet with, you can find a way to do it on LinkedIn, and we can talk more about that later. But that's really what I talked on, how to open up doors that you wouldn't have, and how to get jobs or internships that most people can't get, as well as how to use LinkedIn to do it, and it was a good time. So from there, I graduated actually just over a year ago. Pretty crazy.
Can you believe that?
Went and worked at a hospital as a process improvement engineer. It was a little bit too much behind a computer, and I wanted to connect with people. So when Jimmy reached out, we found this awesome opportunity, and here we are.
So you guys found each other on LinkedIn. That's how you kind of connected. Yeah. You were reaching, yeah. Jimmy, you were reaching out to Justin to try to get him to be a client?
Yeah, and I mean, actually, I got the Northwestern position through LinkedIn also. I messaged 400 people on LinkedIn, and when I at that point, I only had like 800 connections, because I didn't really know how to use LinkedIn much yet. But I had only 800.
I'm trying to get that 500 so that you get 500.
I have about 13,000 now.
13,000 connections on LinkedIn?
Yeah, on LinkedIn.
And they're not retail either. I mean, they're C-level executives.
I could go into that. But yeah, so I had about 800 connections, messaged about 400 of them. One of them happened to be the guy who was my boss when I started working at Northwestern. So even that's a great example of LinkedIn opening doors.
The best part about LinkedIn is that you weed out the Facebook crowd,
yeah,
the Instagram crowd.
It's a different audience.
Yeah. And you're in there with decision makers. So like you said, C-level executives.
Absolutely.
different people like that.
And you're not just filtering them out by being on that platform. And I've given people 1, 2, 3 steps to have a great LinkedIn before. And step one is just filtering the people that you're connecting with. Connect with a lot of people. Get as many connections as you can. But getting connected with the right people on LinkedIn allows you to do that better than Facebook does, obviously, because you can go by industry, you can go by job title, you can go by a lot of things, even keywords and things like that. They make you pay more money now to be able to do that really well. But I was able to put on filters there for $50 a month at one point. Only CEOs, only VPs of companies with X amount of employees, and there would be a list of. There'd be a list of like 1,000 people, and I would just connect. So I don't have 13,000 connections because I was popular, but it's because I connected with a lot of people. I didn't spam them right away. I waited for them to have an anniversary or have a birthday, whatever. I have like 50 people every day who have anniversaries, it seems like now. And then also I'd endorse people, and they click that button right back that says, thank you for endorsing me for leadership. And I said, that's an open door for me to just continue the conversation that they started.
Cool.
And that's how so I don't just have 13,000 connections. I also have a lot of relationships with the people that I've been connected with now.
Let's get back to that. I definitely want to talk about that. This is the type of podcast where we talk with entrepreneurs and business people, and I think that's a great topic to get into. Let's come back to Mako. What's Mako Laboratories? What do you guys do? You guys are sales. We'll talk about what it is, the services and things that you provide, and then your roles as sales executives within the organization. Is that cool?
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about Mako.
Yeah, and it's really going to be 90-10, 10 of what we do and 90% of really why we do it. But what we do, we're a full service lab, essentially. Toxicology, if that means anything to the audience, medication monitoring, pharmacogenetics. Pharmacogenetics allows, and real brief here, and Justin can back me up if I slip up on this, but pharmacogenetics basically allows to ensure that based on your genes that you're getting the most appropriate drug for you. So if all the people in the room are bipolar, let's say, there is a drug that works great for me, it does nothing for Justin, it is not strong enough for you, and for you, it kills you. Right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stories. We just met someone last week who has an example of their brother dying 6 months ago from something like this, but it allows us to put drugs in the right categories to make sure that the doctors can properly prescribe something, and then
DNA, right? DNA,
yeah. DNA testing, and that's one half. The other half is just making sure that the patient is taking what they're telling the doctor they're taking, and that's like medication monitoring. So our target demographic is usually anyone that's prescribing drugs. I don't know, what did I miss there?
Yeah, I think wrapping up kind of pharmacogenetics and healthcare right now, we live in a world where like you're number one, you're number two, I'm number three, he's number four, right? But it's understanding that everyone's bodies are different. So we all metabolize drugs different. Drugs vary depending on if they're a pro drug or an active drug. There's tons of different variables that go into effect. And so if I can be able to narrow down as a doctor, you know, these are the best drugs for your body and these not so much, you might need more or less of, and the other one stay away, then that helps them to prescribe more efficiently. Because how many times have you gotten a drug and then it doesn't work, you gotta do another and another and another, right? Yeah. That's more cost to you, that's more cost to facilities, more cost to your employer, insurance companies. So we kind of take pride in trying to find a way to get someone from 10 drugs down to 3 drugs, but feeling even better and having better results, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it versus a trial and error method.
Correct.
So basically, someone that's your clientele is mainly you service directly doctors and other medical professionals, right?
Absolutely.
So you reach out to them and you say, hey, look, if Jimmy comes into your practice, you diagnose him with whatever it is, whether it's ADHD or diabetes or whatever the thing is, do some lab work. You guys take swabs mainly, swabs and other stuff.
Urine and some blood.
Send it to us. We'll test it. We'll see what medicine is likely to have the best fit. Monitor his progress not only with what you see, but send us the results of continued swab and monitoring of the body fluids and whatever to make sure that it's working. Mm-hmm. And also, it is, like you said, an instant truth serum, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because Factual, clients yeah. can lie and they can say, you know, yeah, I'm taking my drugs, as you say, doc, you know, gee whiz, maybe just up the dosage a little bit. But you can yeah. say, no, they're taking too much, they're not taking enough, based on science and facts, right?
Yeah, and I don't always blame people for maybe not taking the drug or, I don't know, because it's very personal to people, too. But when you run a test, it just makes it more professional as well. So yeah, I feel good about that.
And I think at the end of the day, it comes down to one word, which is transparency, right? Mm-hmm. It gives doctor a full transparent outlook with the patient and creates an environment where he feels like he can help them in any manner. Who knows, maybe they are taking other drugs and he can talk to them about it and maybe see if they need to or if they aren't and maybe why, or maybe they're taking not enough or too much. And so it's, like I said, it comes down to they can have safer prescribing, less liability, and more transparency, and get better care. And I think that's kind of what encapsulates what it does.
Okay. Now, how do you guys fit into Mako Medical's vision and all their... I mean, what do you guys actually do for the company?
Well,
it's like office space.
What would you say
do
here? There,
yeah.
I work with the customers. Don't fire me. I need this job.
Well, Mako was North Carolina's fastest growing company last year. It was our second year of really doing sales, and we hit $75 million last year. Probably do $125 million this year, and hopefully in 3 years, $1 billion. And we did all that though without really touching Charlotte, which is really strange. Charlotte is definitely the most populated area and most land of opportunity within the state. And so when Chad brought us on board, he looked at the map and said, "You guys want that?" And we said, "Yep." And so really our position is more of a business development position with Mako, spreading the word. Right now we're not selling at all, really. We're just spreading the word. And that comes from a combination of, we talked about this before the podcast, we talked about from 9 to 3, we're visiting offices, but when we're visiting offices, we're not like coming with a box of donuts and saying, yeah, "Here you go, can I talk to your doctor?" We're dropping off a combination of things. Actually, we have these like canned lattes, and on the latte it says, "We appreciate you a latte." It says a latte, and it's just like, it's just stupid funny.
Yeah. Right?
And so we drop that off. We say, "Hey, here you go. Just something to brighten your day. My name's Jimmy, by the way. What's your name, Madison? That's great. Well, you have a great week, Madison," and we leave. And we come back the next week. And this time, we have a jar full of the candy Reasons, you guys know what I mean? Like, yeah, the dark chocolate. And we have a jar full of those, and they open it up, and we drop that off, same thing. And they open it up, and it says, "For when you need a reason to smile."
Yeah.
And then we come back again, and we have like a written note, and that egg-shaped lip balm. And the egg-shaped lip balm says, you're the balm. We appreciate everything you do." And we just do things like that. So they finally stop us and they finally say, "What is it that you're doing?"
By then they're mad. By then they're like, "What do you do?"
We're talking about Justin and Jimmy. What are they actually doing?
By the second or third time, they're like, "Come up to the blinds line." Yeah. What do these guys do? You know, and so it's exciting though. It makes them invested, interested. You know, what we've noticed is when it comes to sales professionals, they pretty much do the same thing every time. I'm gonna wear a suit. I'm gonna come and say, "Hey, I'm new to the area. I wanna talk to your doctor. Here's donuts." Really what you're kind of saying is that the front desk person is just a gatekeeper, doesn't really make decisions, isn't really that valued, and I want to speak to someone who does. But for us, that's not how it is. Everyone in the whole entire facility is just as valuable as the other person, and we want to make sure that they feel that way. And so a lot of times assistants don't get treated like that. So we'll make 2 or 3 trips and just drop it off. And like, we just get in, get out. That's really it. But we'd like to do it in a fun, goofy way that sparks enough interest that by the time we do ask them, you know, maybe if we could learn about their facility, like, "Oh, absolutely, I'll get you in touch with them right now." Right.
And then the whole 3 to 7 thing is a good example of that is next Wednesday we're going to be speaking in front of the independent physicians of the Carolinas. We're bringing Chad Price, our CEO, to come down with us. And I imagine that if they heard that a lab is coming to talk to them, you got to imagine that what they're familiar with labs. They deal with labs every day. They kind of label you, they know what to expect. And in that time we're allotted 10 minutes for a 10 minute commercial of pitching them Mako basically, and then 60 minutes of an educational thing. But most of the time it's an educational thing that's like, you know, why you should use pharmacogenetics, you know. So we're changing that around too. In that 10 minutes, we're just going to have a slideshow going in the background of charities that Mako has maybe been involved in. Kids who have, we have a mascot called Mikey the Mako. He's a shark visiting hospitals. And he's going to, there are going to be pictures of these kids with their faces lit up visiting Mikey, drawing and coloring books. And that's going to be the first 10 minutes.
So people like hearing stories about the products as opposed to being told why, you know, why our product's so great, why our company's so great. But if you can share it in a story, you know, people like that a lot more.
How can you create an emotional connection?
Exactly. That's really what it comes down to. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, in Chad's part, where he's talking for the 60 minutes, we're not talking about pharmacogenetics or anything like that. We're just going to be talking about how these physicians can bond together to kind of go against the man in the political side of things. And there's an issue right now between independent physicians that they don't really have much of a voice representing them in government. So Chad is going to kind of like come in there and like lead the charge for them and tell them how they can do exactly that. And so we're going to catch them by surprise unless they watch this live stream or something like that. But we're really looking forward to that. And it's going to offer a lot of value to them as well. So those are some of the examples of...
You've mentioned Chad a couple times. Who's Chad?
Chad is the mad scientist behind all this.
Chad Price, the CEO.
Chad Price, the CEO.
Yeah, he's the CEO. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to talk to you about. So you guys are relatively new, but you're winning awards. You say that people are used to other labs and stuff giving their spiel, but what sets you guys apart? What makes Mako so different other than, well, not other than, because getting a charity is a big important deal, but what makes Mako so different from some of the other labs that are out there?
From the service side of things?
Sure, yeah.
Start. Yeah, you want to hit that up?
Yeah, I mean, I really there's a couple of different things. You know, I could start with, when it comes to other companies, I guess you would say the Goliaths, since we're the Davids. You know, it's a little bit difficult to maybe get them on the phone unless they're billing you, plain and simple, right? Unless they want money. And so a big thing we kind of take pride in is people may come to us and say, like, hey, are you guys sales reps? And that's what we say. We're not really sales reps. We're more like connectors and givers. Like, we want to be tied to the community and giving back at all times. We want to be that person where if the doctor needs help with lab services, we're there. But if he needs help with anything else, we know exactly who can help them, right? So, right. Hey, I need help a little bit with like finances. Great. Well, I have these three guys and I have a strong connection with them and I can get you in touch with them by tomorrow. Or, you know, I need help with this or this. Like, we want to be the go-to person. And if you call us at 7 p.m., we're picking up. If you call us at 9 p.m., we're picking up. If it's 3 p.m., we're picking up. It's interesting because that just doesn't really exist in our field. So that's maybe one avenue that sets us apart. Another one is when it comes to logistics and the drivers, a lot of companies use FedEx and UPS, right? And so I'm coming in, I'm getting the samples, I'm leaving. I'm not saying anything to anyone, you know, this is just another one of my stops. Well, for us, we hire only ex-military veterans for our whole logistics team, right? And so that is the coolest thing in the world. It's something we take pride in. And when they go in and they see that facility, they know the front desk lady's name is Suzanne. And they know that James is her 8-year-old son who broke his ankle in soccer last week and wants to check and see how he's doing. You know, they're kind of the people behind the scenes, but make our lives easier and then the most incredible support that we have because they continue that relationship. You know, they're making sure that every single client we have feels special in one way or another. And so that's two huge things. And then a third one is obviously us giving back to the community. You know, when we're talking to companies, it is very much like, you're partnering with us, but we allocate a lot of our profits to other organizations. Something we were talking about before we even started this was, you know, we actually work, sponsor, or help over 700 organizations. We give to over 60 missionaries in 20 countries. We, you know, whether it's the Tammy Lynn Foundation and we give money to that, all of that makes an impact. And that's really our goal, right? When Mako started, it was, how can we make an impact on everyone and everything? And this was just the vehicle we could do so. So I think when you wrap all of that together, that's what separates us a lot to where we don't even really have to market. It's a lot of word of mouth because people feel like they're giving back to the community, they're getting better service, better value for a very comparable price, and they have us on speed dial. It's what they deserve, but they aren't getting.
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's also going to talk about things like turnaround time, and we think we have the best turnaround time, but so does everyone else too.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, a good background for you too, and this will probably be it as far as what helps us stand out, is to give you guys some background on the industry. It's a $250 billion industry, mostly being run by two companies, and it's kind of like a duopoly. And usually when companies get that large, it becomes less advantageous for their clients, right? And so there has been a need on the market for a legitimate third option to come up out of the works. And we feel like we're on really good pace to either do that or already be doing that. And by the showcasing of our growth in the past few years, it seems like other people are seeing it that way too.
Yeah. That's outstanding, man. And where's your lab at? Is it in, do you have Raleigh. One in, okay, is it just Raleigh?
Yeah, Raleigh. For the Carolinas? Same as one of those two big Goliaths that we talked about. We're not going to
talk right down the street. Yeah. But we're actually based out of Raleigh. That's where our headquarters are. That's where we pretty much send all of our stuff to. We do blood here in Charlotte, but
yeah.
Excellent. I mean, I think the Mako story is a good one. I mean, you're giving back. You present yourself as coming from contribution, as like you said, you're not the typical suit and donut guy. Yeah. You're sharing your philanthropic stories with everyone. You're giving, like you said, like you call yourself.
Yeah.
And that's how you're growing. You know, there is a true differentiation with you guys. It's obvious, and it's impressive, man. So keep up the good work, for sure.
Thank you.
It's a great company to work for.
We're pumped.
It's the best. We love it, man.
We're up. We don't have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning.
Yeah. So you guys have been down here, what, 3 weeks now?
An official month, at least. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So for me, it was February 18th. For him, February 19th.
Interesting.
So, that's yeah. That's it. We're new blood.
Really, it's almost like our first week, to be honest with you, because we had orientation, went through so much training.
Yeah.
But it's been cool. We've had well over 100 calls and meetings just in the last couple of weeks, and huge contribution, obviously, that was LinkedIn, but really just showing people how passionate we are, right? Like, man, if you can get to the point where you're happy every day,
what's the secret to that? I'm sure I have not discovered it.
Well, man, the company's sweet because it's about giving, being positive, and helping everyone, right? And I know that's kind of cliche, and that's what you always hear, but it's very, very real. You know, I've been in a lot of environments where I'm like, that's just what they say. But that's why Jimmy and I are able to wake up at 5 or 6 in the morning and go after the day, because we enjoy it, right? And go throughout. So.
Yeah, and to answer your question, I mean, there's not totally not the case where you're happy every single day. It's not Christmas morning every single day. But we feel pretty darn close to that. You know, there's a quote, it's, no one wakes up early for realistic goals, right? And so if you set, like, realistic goals that aren't that exciting, don't make much of an impact in the world, like, it's going to be hard to talk that demon in your head out of not getting out of bed, right? But if you're chasing something that's just huge, and if you did it, like if you did it, it would be amazing. It would change your life. It would change
your life. A moonshot idea.
Exactly. And if you're chasing something like that, it's not hard to get it. I sometimes wake up before my 5 a.m. alarm just because we're chasing something big, and that's really exciting.
Have you read the book Start With Why? By Simon Sinek.
I haven't read the book. I know I've listened to the talk, and I love Simon Sinek.
That's the book everyone's been talking about lately. He's the guy.
He kind of went viral with his take on millennials. I'm sure you saw that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But you guys don't fit that mold, though, I don't think.
We've.
I mean, you're obviously millennials, but as far as he was describing.
There's definitely advantages to any disadvantage. We don't demand beanbags and things like that. I know.
You don't need a safe corner or anything like that.
I feel like a safe space. Yeah, we don't need that either. But I feel like one advantage that you did point out is that there is usually passion and even creativity around accomplishing a task. So yeah, thank you though. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's really cool because we kind of share, even though we're in real estate, obviously.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to remind people that that's what we do, because we do the podcast, we do a video series. Brian's heavily involved in vets and giving back to the veteran community. So we almost have to, like, remind people, we actually get paid for doing real estate. So if you know.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of the same mindset that you guys have, where it's like you're connecting people and you're doing other things.
By the way.
And by the way, it comes back to. Yeah. You mentioned something earlier, and it reminded me about not only LinkedIn, but what you guys have on your profile. One thing I noticed that you put your visions out there.
Yes.
On LinkedIn. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It says my vision. Yeah. So what's the story behind that? What does that mean to you guys?
Well, a couple things. There's talking about, we keep name dropping books and things. It's not a book, it's actually a talk by one of my favorite authors named Matthew Kelly. And it's the 7 levels of intimacy. And it's not a romance book by any means. It's you walk into a room of people, and what levels of intimacy do you have with people? The first level is talking about the weather. Second level, okay, mm-hmm. maybe you start talking about sports. Maybe it's somewhere in there you start talking about opinions. That's somewhere up there. And then like the very 7th level are the things that are so important to you, or you guard so close to your chest, because if someone knew about those things and didn't like them, it would crush you, right? But it's also the same things that everyone has. We're all working really hard so we can go home at the end of the day and make someone proud of us or provide for someone, and that's something that almost everyone shares, but we might lose track of. So by putting a long list of all the things that are that 7th level for me, whether it's, you know, I love who I am. I feel like I am who God created me to be. I want to do this for my girlfriend. I want to make my family proud. All those things. If you put that all on there, people are going to see that, and it's going to bring you to that 7th level intimacy with people real quick. Instead of having to climb the ladder of BS, basically. And the other thing I've noticed that a lot of people to do is, before you pitch something to someone, it's best to try to offer them value, right? About what's really most important to them. And I know when Justin and I are meeting with new people, we're always trying to find out, what is keeping this person up at night? Yep. Right? Where can we add value? Where maybe can we introduce this guy to someone, and it would mean the world to them? And I'm giving people a blatant opportunity to do exactly that for me. If they want to maybe pitch me something, I have a long list of things that they can add value to me for. And that's sort of the other reason why.
Yeah, and I think he recapped that extremely well. I can't tell you how many times we've had people reach out to us, even higher like level executives or people in healthcare, even in the area in the last 3 weeks, reach out and say, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm really just reaching out because I love your summaries. Mm. I love how transparent you were. I love how open you are. I mean, we live in a world, right, where we have keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
And we have people who I'm going to post and make it seem like I'm so incredible. And for us, it's like, look, we got nothing really to hide. You know, we're here to make an impact. We care about our families, our girlfriends, everything. And we don't really have a problem with posting that. But that's been a huge, huge positive, because almost nobody does it. And when we sit down with them and we first start talking, they feel like they know quite a bit about us. You know, and wrapping up what Jimmy said, you know, it's crazy to me how many times you'll sit down or you'll meet someone and the first thing they say is like, well, here's my business card.
Right? Oh, that's brutal.
And
the worst.
This is what I sell, yeah. Right? Okay, so cool. So I actually sell a heated rock, right? That helps me get advice.
That's so genius, man. So, I tell my son about that.
It works, I promise you.
They're wise beyond their years. Yeah,
so you'll make more money than getting allowance from your parents. Yeah. It's overrated.
Get real estate. Let's sell rocks to elementary
students. Dude, that's all it takes. $300. You get Benji's day.
I'm going to ask the principal to come on during recess periods and
yeah, they can be like,
wear a trench coat with the rocks on the inside.
But anyways, it's a lot of sitting down. They now know quite a bit about us, and we sit down and we're like, look, tell us about you. What are your passions? What keeps you up at night? Who do you want to connect with? How can we help you in any way? If they don't even help us, that's fine, but that's why we want to be those connectors, right? We want to know the people in the area, because as soon as they finish, I want to be like, you know what, James? I've got 4 people right here, I kid you not, that I've talked to in the last 2 weeks, I think could extremely positively impact your life, your business, might even fix a couple of your problems. And then we connect them, and after a couple of times, they're like, how do you guys know these people? And they'll hit you with the golden sentence, which is, man, this is great. How can I help you? You never asked. Mm-hmm. You never asked, right? That's the goal. The goal is to never have to ask, and they almost come to you, and that's a huge
Ryan
way
Fletcher
we've been able to do it. So
on his mm-hmm. podcast a lot.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Someone one time said it's not your job to sell them something, it's to get them to want you to sell them something. It's like super simple, but then when I heard it put that way, it clicked really well.
So what do you guys do for personal growth? I mean, you guys are ahead of the game, dude. Much congratulations to you.
I told you they weren't playing around, Chris.
I know. So what do you guys, I mean, obviously you read. What are some of the stuff that you guys read? How are you, what are you doing on the personal growth?
And to add on, and to go on Chris, what advice do you have for other people your age?
Oh, shoot.
That's a good question right there.
I'll pull a Gary Vee.
Yes! I got a good question.
Brian finally got a good question. Good Brian. Yes. Man, right. Good job, dude. 27 episodes in. You got
I'll pull a Gary Vee, and I guess he talks about step one is knowing yourself, knowing your strengths.
Yes,
a lot of people,
self-awareness.
A lot of people talk about strengthening your weaknesses, but really, if you strengthen your strengths, no one gets paid to be average at things. No one gets paid big bucks to be average things. People that make the most money are just super good at a few things, right? And something that, you know, we talked about me not enjoying school. I found out after school that I'm dyslexic and that I'm ADD. It's awful for me to have to read books. It's awful for me to be trapped in a room for too long. And so when I got out of school and I had all this energy bundled up and all this social ability, I was able to apply that towards sales. And I never wanted to be a salesperson. I thought I was gonna be like a teacher or something like that. But so I think step one is knowing what you're good at, and that helps you be passionate. It helps you wake up early in the morning and strive towards greatness. And
Feeding off that, before you go to the second one, I that is the immediate thing that comes to my mind. We live in a fast-paced environment where everything's noisy. Social media is noisy. Everything is just constantly either trying to be sold to you, told to you, anything, right? And a lot of times we get caught up in, okay, well, I don't have anything to do. What am I going to do right now? I'm going to get on social media.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to blindly, with no purpose, go down my Instagram and not care. And I've noticed this a lot specifically in college students, and I struggled with it a lot too, so I'm not here to say that I haven't, but it's, you know, we try and stay so busy that we never sit back and try and figure out, how can I be better? Who am I? Right? Like, mm-hmm. A lot of times you're molded by hearing what other people are telling you, but you don't know who you are, right? And so that's a big thing, is sitting back and every night kind of like recap your day. Like, what could you have done better? You know, what's your biggest struggle? What are you afraid of? Like, that's a big thing. Every month, think of what is a huge fear for you and then do it every day, so that by the end of that month, you've overcome it. Think about that. If you overcome one huge fear every month for 12 months, you've overcome 12 huge fears over that year. And then you duplicate that and you keep going. Over 5 years, you're looking at 60 fears you overcame. Then you have people who are incredible at speaking who hated it 2 years ago. Why? Because they forced themselves to do it, right?
Mm.
And so pairing off of what Jimmy said about, you know, knowing yourself, also know yourself so well to know what your weaknesses are and try and work on them, or don't be so afraid of them, or don't have them hold you back from the things that you're really, really good at. Mm-hmm. And so Jimmy always says this, and I love it, where it's like, if you get an awesome opportunity, say yes, and then figure it out after you say yes.
Right.
Don't have what I call paralysis by analysis,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's the other big thing. Go for those fears, know what your fears are, and know who you are, because, man, that'll take you so, so far.
And that was a Grant Cardone thing, too, where I saw you 10X.
Out
the, yeah.
Yeah, you saw
it's
that.
Like, I got that opportunity, that TV show or whatever it was in the book.
Yeah.
He's like, I went for it.
You talking about Gary Vee or Grant?
Grant.
At the end of his book. The second thing, and it'll be the last thing just because there's not enough time, I think it's the atom bomb of tips. And it's about who you surround yourself with. And it's very cliche.
Go ahead, Brian. Finish it.
As we all know, we're the average of the five people we hang out with the most.
Brian loves that. That's his favorite one.
Is everyone and it's so annoying to hear
it's
that,
true,
too.
Man. It's
but
true,
it,
it's annoying
and,
how true it is.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, that's something that's really transitioned in the past 8 months. Right around the summer time where I met Justin. And to give you further in-depth story with Justin, he came in to be my client. And, you know, we talked and I said, hey, man, I got 45 minutes. I have a meeting in my church right after this. And then I found out that he's in a small town with not many people, but he's motivated just like I am. And we talked for 2.5 hours. I canceled the next meeting and we hit it off really well. About 8 months ago, I started using things like LinkedIn, using things like Facebook. And I saw the list of 30 under 30 entrepreneurs and stuff like that. And friended all these people, went to their LinkedIn, offered these people value. Now they're some of my best friends all over the country. one guy, 32 years old, making like $20 million this year, would have been my client if I stayed Northwestern, by the way, and that does hurt a little bit. But, but you know, he completely is elevating my level of thinking. And he's doing different things than I would do if I was making as much as he was. But it motivates me to know that that is so possible. The atom bomb is who you surround yourself with. And there could be a whole talk about how to surround yourself with the right people, but that's got to be the...
And that's a common idea that the more successful you'll come, the more you'll have to travel to see your friends. You know, it's at different conventions, at different... Yeah. Things like that, that you guys are off doing your own thing. Sure. Last thing before we end, you know, a lot of our listeners are business owners, entrepreneurs, starting their own thing. Yeah. I don't want to use the word hack because it sounds like you're insincere in what you do, and you're definitely not. But what are some of your LinkedIn tips, your LinkedIn ideas and methodologies that you use to connect with people and to grow your own business?
Yeah, I mean, well, I can kind of start this and then let Jimmy finish it and take it any way that he wants. But I think really what it comes down to is, you know, a couple quick steps. Filter, 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 like mm-hmm. we had spoken about earlier, which LinkedIn's kind of changed everything. And so you kind of need Sales Navigator if you're really trying to filter a lot. But well worth the investment still, in my opinion.
How much is that a month?
It's $80. Right, but I mean,
you pay me a lot more than
once you're connecting with hundreds, if not thousands, of higher level executives. Yeah. It's well worth it.
Yeah. Obviously. If you don't have $80 a month, you can align your priorities. You
know? There's free ways too, and maybe, people can contact us and how to
for sure navigate around that. But. They can reach out to you, and they can always reach out to us, and so on and so forth. But really, just stop having Starbucks 2 times a week, and that pays for it. Right? Yeah. So it's all about, you know, where you spend your money, but. That's a whole different talk. And so it's filtering, right? And then once you have the right people connected, it's finding ways to reach out to them without having to send them a message, which again is anniversary, birthday, new job, anything like that. Just congratulate them. Send them a quick message. Don't just blast them and do like the standard thing, you know, throw their name in there, make them feel special, things like that. But it's really sending that message, but keeping it short. You're not asking them anything. You're just congratulating them. And it opens up that conversation. I think subconsciously, when they look and they're like, oh, I'll click thanks because it takes a half a second and I feel like a jerk if I don't, they've really just started the conversation. And then from there, then we say, yeah, you know, sure thing, so-and-so, like, and then we'll kind of send a sense or two. But really, it's how can we be a resource to you? We're not asking or telling them about us or we want to sell them on this. It's how can I be a resource to you? A lot of times I reply and be like, hey, you know, that's awesome. Actually, I'm looking to meet these people, and right then and there, we're like, sweet, we know the people, let's line up a call, let's meet you, we'd love to be a valuable resource to you. And from there, it's providing so much value and caring so much about the person you're meeting 100 times more than you selling your product or what you're trying to get out of it, that people see that genuineness and they want to give to you 10 times more. So that's a little bit of the beginning, but I don't know what you kind of want to add to it. But
I would just dive a little deeper, and I mean, it really is two things. If you want to really narrow it down, it's how, number one, how do you get connected to the right people? And two, how do you get them to message you or be receptive to your message? One, connecting with the right people, first off, know who you want to connect with. For me, when I was a financial advisor, it was all about CEOs and people that had all kinds of... Well, I really liked entrepreneurs as my target demographic at the time, because those are people I connect with the most. So I would look at like CEOs, I would look at the people with the word owner in their name, and really, I would, on a weekly basis, add thousands of people, request thousands of people, and a percentage of them accepted. That's the first thing that I did. And then the second thing, I'll dive a lot deeper with getting them to message you, because that sounds kind of funny. How do you get CEOs to message you? So Justin alluded to this. So in marketing, there's something called the rule of seven, right? And the idea, and a lot of people use the example of a book. So I say, hey, you got to read 10X by Grant Cardone. First time that you hear that, there's like maybe a 25% chance that you're like, sure, I'll actually do that, I'll finish the book, right? If I say, hey, like I follow up with you next week and say, hey, did you download it? Did you buy the book? And then there's maybe 35% chance. And the point is, all the way to seven, there's like a 99.7% chance that at that point you finally have said yes and you've taken action, you've done it, right? So when you're on LinkedIn, and let's say you just make a post, and we're talking about opioids. That's a big thing. The amount of people that died because of opioid abuse or something like that, right? And we make a post. Someone sees my name. Someone sees my face. That's one check off the list. Let's say you're trying to get to 7. Because even though you're not offering them something, they are asking themselves a question in their mind of whether or not they should engage in you. And people have done that on the first time before. Maybe it's a much lower percent on the first time. It's like 5% of people will engage with you if they just see the right thing, your name and your face and something cool. And we have had people do that. Like I said, our summaries. People looked at our summaries and reached out to us. So that's the first thing. You can comment on something on LinkedIn and boom, your name shows up again. You can like something on LinkedIn. Boom, your name shows up again on their timeline. I have people telling me they keep seeing my name pop up on their timeline. You can go and endorse them. They got a notification. Jimmy Coleman endorsed you for leadership. You can go to an article that they created and share it and like it and say, hey, Mike Jones, this was a great article. I just said that last
who?
Night for Mike Jones.
Who?
Yeah.
Mike Jones.
Who? Y'all know who Mike Jones is for real?
No, I meant to say Mike Ryan. Mike Ryan had a great article, by the way, last night.
No, I mean, you just know who Mike Jones is?
I don't know who Mike Jones is. I do know who Mike Jones is. Yeah, 2005.
Yeah, I was like, man.
But you can share the article, tag them in it. You don't have to know them to do that, and just say, hey, wow, John Smith, this was a great article, love this. And they're going to think that it's just association, right? Mm-hmm. You can like it, you can create an article yourself and post it. You can do all these things. You can say happy birthday when it's their birthday, congrats on the new job, all these things. By then you've popped up 7 times. So maybe at that point they haven't engaged you yet, even though they're going to bed thinking about you every night. But by the time that you say something to them, you message them, they're like, yes, we need to talk. You've been on their mind.
It's all about omnipresence, right?
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, Grant Cardone talks about omnipresence. It's creating omnipresence.
And the very last thing is when you get in front of that person, know about them. Mm-hmm. Look into what they like. Man, every person I meet up with, I'm looking at what do they publish on LinkedIn, and I read it. And I'm going to come in and be like, hey, you know what? That was a fantastic article on so-and-so. Like, that was very well-spoken. Like, how did you get into that, right?
Yeah, man.
Because, again, it's how to win friends, influence people. Yeah, exactly. The goal is to have them talk about themselves, and everyone loves when you kind of compliment them. And so it's really the big thing is just make sure you know them and you're not just showing up and asking questions. Like, ask questions that are intelligent questions based on the work that you did before you sat down with them, and you're going to get 10 times farther than the people who just sat down and said, well, thanks, James. What do you do, right? So right. That's kind of the finishing touch is spend a little bit of time. 10 or 15 minutes of efficient work, you can know a lot about them and really ask good questions.
Especially in today's day and age, for sure.
Awesome, man. Dude, I feel like I want to sit here all day with you guys.
I told you this is not screwing around.
They don't feel like our little brothers because that might have a negative connotation. They feel like...
So whatever.
Like,
hey, we're brothers.
We're brothers. Yeah, we're brothers. We're cool. I don't want to call little brother.
Honestly, we're happy to be here, man. We love what you guys do. I reached out to Brian. I was like, hey, man, we got to line something up. How can we help you guys? Because I don't know if people are still watching, been on here talking our mouths off. But
we've had a lot of viewers.
But you guys are the real deal, and I think this is sweet. You guys have a great setup, and we're honored to be here.
Well, all right, Mako, what is it, MakoMedical.com for more information on those guys? How do they reach you guys? LinkedIn, obviously.
LinkedIn is a great
way. Are you guys on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
You guys should use
LinkedIn. We just played the account yesterday, actually. We're excited to get our first connection this morning.
I don't think LinkedIn will work. It's just a fad.
I would say two things, by the way. Maybe three, I don't know. But two things top of mind. Obviously, LinkedIn is the best way. Jimmy Coleman, Justin Liquier, good luck. Go to the text to see how to copy and paste his name. And then the second thing is Meetup. We actually have a group on Meetup. It's called BYOBG.
I saw that.
Bring your own board game for healthcare professionals. And we just have a good time playing
Pierre.
Cranium.
We got to get Pierre because he has his own board game.
It's a card game. Is that okay?
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. I mean, we're not strict on those rules. Yeah. We just created it.
We got to get Pierre over there with you.
But
really, it was just to create that environment where, like, you know, we know, so there's a lot of healthcare type meetups around. Or not really a lot, but there were some, but weren't really doing too much. And we're like, look, let's get this going and let's create an environment that's very, very comfortable and relaxed. And that's kind of what we...
Yeah, we'll tell our boys.
So BYOBG, definitely join in if you're in healthcare in any manner. A healthcare professional is... we'd love to connect with you and help you out in any way we can.
All right, man. Justin Liquier, Jimmy Coleman, Mako Medical. I appreciate it.
And these guys are going to be president one day.
Awesome, man. President, you guys can do anything you want. Congratulations.
We're just trying to be on your level.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.